Good morning. As we continue to gather, let us sing from the Sing the Story, number 96, I'm Pressing on the Upward Way. Sorry, Sing the Journey. Sorry, Green, Sing the Journey, number 96. And please stand in body and or spirit, and we will sing away.
Since Easter, we've been talking about maturity and our journey on this way with maturity. And, okay, no journey would be complete without talking about adversity. I mean, like most Bible characters, they faced adversity. For example, John. And God said to John, "Come forth, and you shall be granted eternal life." But John came fifth and won a toaster. Sometimes life is not what we expect it to be. Sometimes we're met with real hurdles and life problems, and the real question is, what do I do? How do I react? Do I give up and give in, or hold on and press in? Adversity tests us, and how we answer in times of testing reveals about who we are. Each of us has a choice on this journey, and let us continue together on this journey this morning as we worship our risen Savior, as we worship and celebrate life to the fullest. Join with me this morning in this call to worship, and more importantly, Join with me in worshiping our God who guides us through adversity and comforts us along the way. Our God is a good God and worthy of praise. Join with me. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and grow.
We choose life, a life of growth.
It is this life that mirrors the life of Christ, a life that is abundant and rich.
It is this whole life we want to share with each other, and especially those in need.
Journeying towards this mature life, we will encounter obstacles and hardships.
We will embrace adversity as a step, not a stumbling block, fixing our eyes on the risen Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith.
The risen Christ lives as we journey toward maturity.
Let us pray. Creator God, we worship you this day as we recognize that our life comes with its share of hardships. Hardships in all shapes and sizes, we do not seem to be spared. As we gather our thoughts this morning, we bring to you our individual lives. Take our lives. Take our joy as well as the hurdles we find ourselves stumbling over. Help us this day to recognize you working and moving in our midst. O giver of life itself, may our focus be on you, and may you reveal yourself to us this day. We thank you for your love for each one of us. Amen. Let us join together in song and give God the glory.
Now we're in the purple, sing the story. Number 93. We will sing through this three times, and if you're able, please stand. Same book, number 99. Jolene will play through this once, and then we'll enter in.
The ushers come forward.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down to the
Thank you, Ellie. Let us pray together. God, these are our gifts this morning, and we pray that you would be creative in using these gifts, that they would build up your kingdom, enable people to know love where a void exists, create peace in the midst of strife, renew faith in you where faith is needed, give strength when we are weak. We thank you that you enable us to give. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I've invited Brent Miller to share with us a 6-sentence story. So I posed the question to Brent. Come on up. I posed the question to Brent, what helps us in face of adversity on our path towards joy? I heard a little bit from Brent, and I'm excited to hear what the rest of it is that he has to say. Thanks.
I changed it all after I told you that. This question just raised more questions for me. Questions like, what is joy and do I really have it? Can you have joy and adversity simultaneously, or is it an either-or situation? And does adversity keep me from experiencing joy, or does it make joy possible? Adversity is a common occurrence in the Bible stories we all know, and also in our own lives. In fact, many of us may be dealing with it at this very moment. Yet here we are today, a pretty joyful people. And why is that? My formula to explain this phenomenon is hope plus good relationships equals joy. Hope for me comes from a relationship with God, but is strengthened by a relationship with my spouse as we care for and nurture each other, by amazing examples like my parents and siblings as we dealt with aging and Alzheimer's, and by relationships with all of you, seeing your dealings with adversity and how, despite those challenges, we are here laughing, smiling, singing, and praising God together. With so many gifts, how can I not be joyful?
Thanks, Brent. I think with that, we can all just go home.
So, Jane, did you hear the one about the two penguins who walked into a bar?
No, Steve, I didn't.
Yeah, it was really ridiculous because the second one should have seen it coming. So, this talk about maturity, why don't we learn? I mean, I would think like the penguins, it would hurt so much that we would learn some of these things pretty early on.
Well, I've come to realize that pain doesn't necessarily move one to working life out. Although many spiritual teachers do view suffering as a path that many take to maturity and to joy in life. But my thought went to our human way of mimicking in this joke. To do what we see others do, or what we're familiar with.
So we will walk into this bar like the second penguin.
Many people do.
So we do seem to mimic people that we see or look up to, and that's something that I've pondered a lot too. It almost seems like one of the hurdles in life in this maturity journey is finding real mentors or elders that I can imitate or copy, or at least engage with on this journey of life. Someone who maybe like the penguin has walked into a bar, but has actually learned something and can help me not get a lump on my head.
I think we heard that in Brent's story, didn't we? It is important, people, to show us the true way. People that we see are living joyful and productive lives and not bumping into bars and walls and barriers, but they find their way around it or they go to the door and go through it.
Isn't it also a matter of perspective? I mean, adversity will come, so it would seem like we need people to show us how to understand and work through tough times. Mm-hmm. Adversity can be a great teacher, but it seems like having perseverance and a positive perspective is critical for growth. We certainly need endurance on this journey.
Mm-hmm. And so today, let's make our path again. Briefly reviewing, our first step is being part of the new creation.
The second step has to deal with community.
The third is that we choose to be consciously awake.
And the fourth, last week, is sharing with others in need.
And today we choose to stay on the path toward transformation and growth, no matter the barriers that we experience. And so our word for today is perseverance.
Let us join together in song.
We will be singing "Spirit, Open My Heart," which will be projected on the wall here.
Welcome one another. got everything ready. I think I'm set to have my party. I hope this goes well. Come in. Hi, Linus. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Linus. Thanks for inviting me to your party.
Thanks for coming.
So, what kind of party do you have planned for us? Some games?
Yeah, that would be fun. Maybe we'll play tag. I don't really like games when dogs chase cats around the yard. Oh, really? I think that's kind of fun. How about hide and seek?
Oh, that's not such a good idea. Do you remember when we played that at my party?
I remember. It was lots of fun.
Lots of fun? For you, maybe. You were it. You counted to 20, we all hid, and you proceeded to take a nap.
Yeah, I remember that. First, I was really excited because I thought I was winning.
We all thought we were winning. Then we hear Linus snoring and realize he wasn't playing the game the right way.
Well, that's how I play hide and seek. When I get together with other cats, we all love playing hide and seek that way. Okay, so maybe we'll skip the games and go straight to the eating. Did you bring cake?
No, cats aren't really fond of cake. I did scrounge up some treats. Here's some instant oatmeal, some ramen noodles, and bread crust.
Oh, I see. I see you haven't added any water to the instant oatmeal or the ramen noodles.
Oh, yeah, I guess I haven't.
You might want to add some water to the bread crust, too. It looks a little bit dry.
Actually, guys, I was wondering if we could try something different for my birthday. I got this idea from reading the Bible.
Oh, sure. A Bible-themed birthday party. Sounds great. What were you thinking?
I thought that for my birthday, we might spend our time praying and fasting.
Praying and fasting? Sounds interesting. Praying is good. I do that every day before I go to bed, when I want to spend time with God, and also before I eat. But what is fasting?
You don't know what fasting is? Well, then this should be a good idea. Put it in its simplest terms, fasting means that you go without eating for long periods of time.
How long do you go without eating? Like 5 minutes?
I was thinking longer than that.
Longer than 5 minutes? So 6 minutes then.
Longer than that. I was thinking that we would actually put away all the food here and just use my party to pray and fast.
A party where you pray and fast? I've never done that before.
Of course you've never done that before. That's not what people do at parties. Parties aren't for praying and fasting. They're for playing and eating.
Have you done this before, Linus?
Well, not really. Like I said, I've read a lot about it in the Bible. Lots of people in the Bible spend time praying and fasting. How long do they pray and fast? Well, one time Jesus prayed and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights.
40 days and nights in a row?
Yes. What if I told you
I already fasted today? Yeah.
Dudley, you fast?
Why, of course I fast. I fast all the time. Every day, in fact.
Every day? How do you do that?
Well, a dog's got to sleep, right?
Well, yeah.
So I fast every time I sleep.
Dudley, you're not eating because you're sleeping doesn't count.
It doesn't?
Nope, that's not fasting. If it was, everybody would be fasting when they sleep.
Really? So tell me, what do you call the first meal of the day?
The first meal of the day? I call that acorn!
No. Try again. Linus?
What, you mean breakfast?
Ding, 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 ding. That's right. Break fast. When I wake up from a long, hard night of sleep, what do I do? I break my fast. So there.
Yeah, he's got a point, Linus. Come to think of it, I was fasting last night, too.
That's different. I want us to fast so that we can become closer to God.
Yeah, but Linus, if I fast for 40 days, I'll be as close to God as anybody can get. I'll be dead.
Yeah, Linus, is this really a good idea? Sure, the Bible does say that fasting can bring you closer to God, but Jesus also encouraged his disciples to eat and drink with him while they had the chance.
Jesus knew when it was time to pray and fast better than anybody, but he also knew when it was the right time to have a good party.
Oh, I guess I see your point. So you don't want to spend my party praying and fasting.
Well, fiddle, Linus, it is your party. I guess you can do what you want.
How about we spend a little bit of time praying, and then we follow that up with a little bit of fasting. Then maybe we can have some snacks and play games. Can't we do all of that?
I guess. When you say a little bit of fasting, how little do you mean?
About the length of time it takes to heat up some water for the oatmeal, ramen noodles, and bread crust.
I was thinking a little longer than that.
Hey, I've got an idea. How about we play hide and seek first? Linus can be it.
But you said Linus falls asleep when he's it.
I know. But while he's doing that, we can boil some water, get the food all ready, and then wake him up.
From his fast. Yeah, I get it. Then we'll pray and eat. What do you think of that, Linus?
Well, I guess that would work. You guys get to eat and play games. I get to fast and take a nap. Let's do it. Ready? I'm going to start counting now. You better hide. 1, 2, 3, 4, five.
Goodbye, everybody. Go back to your seats before Linus wakes up.
Our scripture this morning comes from Luke 5, 29 to 39. Then Levi gave a great banquet for Jesus in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Then they said to him, "John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray, but your disciples eat and drink." Jesus said to them, "You cannot make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it on an old garment. Otherwise, the new will be torn, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new wine, but says, 'The old is good.'"
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O God. Amen. Sometimes when I get up to preach, I think, well, why should I preach? We've already heard enough. Like Brent, or who are you? Steve. Steve said, let's go home, you know. I thought you did very nicely with the story and children's time, giving us some help about the text, and I'm glad about that part because I won't do too much with that part. But I hope you can receive what I have also, and there might be a little bit that is good. This week, I had the opportunity to relate or to be in a little bit of a short time with a younger mother. Not real young, but a younger mother, but an immature mother. Of course, that's my judgment. But she, just watching her engage with her child, my heart really went out for the child. Because as I've been studying and working with family systems many years of my life, and now right now I'm in this, for some reason, real huge time of looking at what it takes to be a mature person, maybe because I'm finally getting to be an elder person, and I should be mature, so I'm thinking about it, I recognize how important our parenting is for the children that are raised up. And I think it's one of the reasons why our teachers and our society, we're having more and more struggles because immature people are raising our children. And so I, in my very helpful, I thought, way, tried to engage her a little bit. And I said, have you ever read anything about child development? This was my effort, you know, okay? Hell yeah, she knew all about it. She'd read all these books. Well, anyway, I worked at some other things, but I left feeling sad for this child, recognizing that this is the way it is for many, many of our children. So today, our text, old wine, new wine. Jesus tells this parable at sort of the beginning of his ministry. So it's kind of important. You know, if we just review a little bit of Luke, which I like to do, because I do think it's important to understand where Jesus is saying what he's saying. We have two chapters of his birth to get him to 12, and then a whole lot happens. He gets baptized, he goes into the desert, he's tempted, he comes out, he says his mission statement, he casts out a demon, he heals people, he does a little bit of teaching. He goes to his own, and he goes to his, he calls Peter, and he becomes his disciple. And now here he calls Levi. Not a very good disciple person, according to the people that are watching. And he eats and he drinks with sinners, and they start to question him. Now, calling disciples is a normal thing, I think, for that time. Many people had disciples. John said the Pharisees had their disciples. So this is not an abnormal thing to call your disciples. But Jesus puts on the table right here at the very beginning, in the midst of the sinners and the tax collectors and the Pharisees and the righteous people. What I'm going to do here is new. It's new wine. And you're going to try to put it in old wineskins and it's not going to work, he says. Or it's a new cloth. And I remember sometimes reading in books, I remember Beulah fixing things and taking things off old things and putting them on as, you know, new. And, I am a slow learner, but this week I realized why. You know, Luke does this whole thing about don't use new cloth on old things. It doesn't work. Don't tear the new. Don't take that. And so he's emphasizing something new is coming off. Watch out and watch for it. The other thing that Luke does that nobody else does is at the very end of this in verse 39, and some versions have this and some manuscripts don't, but I thought it was interesting that it's in here. He says, and no one after drinking old wine desires new wine, but says the old is good. I think it feels a little bit like that familiar thing. You know, what's familiar to us is good. And it's really hard for us to welcome or choose the new thing. After this, what does he do? He goes on, and he breaks the Sabbath laws, so right in your face, this is the old way, and I'm not doing it. And he heals on the Sabbath, and then he chooses 12 disciples. He teaches, he heals, and I wanted to get to this one thing that was before, and I didn't, so I'm going to go back up a little bit. Before this, Jesus also forgives sins. So in the story of the paralytic dropping through the ceiling, we often think about it that story, but I really think it should be titled, Jesus Forgives Sins, because nobody's supposed to be able to do that but God. So he is really breaking open the old. Ah, but you say, this is about religion. Is that what you're thinking? Why are you talking about it in terms of maturity? But I've been really thinking about this a lot, and I'm thinking these are really good words for we who are on the path to joy, who are on a path to maturity. Because all the way along, we have to be finding ways to hold the new that's coming at us and letting go of the old. So I invite us to think about these words of Jesus, about new wine, new cloth, as we take the steps that we need to take, growing in maturity. A couple weeks ago, I named that we have a problem with immaturity. Some of you might have felt a little bit challenged on that. But I'd like to just say it again. There are many, many people in our world that are immature. And some of us are kind of immature in some things and not in others. And certainly when adversity comes, we are challenged in our maturing and in our maturity. And I think I'd like to just remind us, this is going to happen because we live in a country that has a certain way of being, and we have grown up in it. So we are individualistic. Mature people think about others, but we really are taught to think about ourselves. We also live in a country that is always telling us what we should have and what we should want and saying, you desire this, you desire, and really plays into our cravings. We're a group of addicted people in many ways. We are probably all addicted to something. Probably you're kind of irritated at me for saying that. But you might be addicted to, Roger, do you care, fishing? Or, you know, you might be addicted to, some addictions aren't that bad, you know, but it's how do we handle our cravings? I kind of think I'm addicted to chocolate in a way, and I have to be always watching. You know, it's not like we're all high on drugs or anything. Maybe we're addicted to technology. Oh, yes. That's probably the newest one coming on or is here. How does that challenge our path to growth and maturity? We live in this country like it's an open-ended country. We're the frontier people. We're conquering people. What kind of maturity does that bring about in our lives? The other thing is we live in a country where things are so easy. Really? I mean, the little bit of travel that I've done in the world, I come home and I'm really grateful. Look around and think, boy, do we have it easy here. Turn on the water, it comes on. Turn on the lights, it goes on. So facing hard things, we're not challenged too much, except in these moments when adversity hits us. Then we're challenged. How practiced are we? What do we do? How does it go? The other big thing I think in our world is the loss of community. The nuclear family has become it. It's not even the extended family, hardly. And certainly it's not anybody else. But the church isn't even much of a community anymore. So we've really lost out on the things that I think can push us or help us move to maturity. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how do we move then. And one of the big questions I think is, well, who do you want to be? That matters. You can take a step back and think, well, am I happy with who I am? Or should I grow a little here? You know, in this situation, am I doing what I'd like to do? Or should I work at it a little harder? Now, I would like to say one thing that really is huge. And that is that all of us have some kind of trauma in our lives. Now, I had a friend who had a lot of trauma. And she would oftentimes include me and say, well, you had trauma too. I hear it in some of your stories. You know, what about this? What about that? And I kind of like, well, I don't think so, you know. And it took me a while to realize we all have some ways of being sort of stunted, might be a word since we're using the idea of maturity, that it's hard for us to move. But there are people who have major trauma in their lives. And sometimes it's not just going to be a stepping back and saying, okay, I want to be different. It takes a lot of work, a lot of therapy, a lot of healing. And that is intense times. Even those, though, if one works at them, opens up the path to maturity and has to be done if you are going to move to a place where you are whole, healthy beings. And sometimes that path will just like you fly through, and then other times you're just clawing and clawing, trying to get back up on the path because of the rawness of the experience. I talked last couple weeks ago about J.D. Vance, this guy that wrote Hillbilly Elegy. Now, here's an example of somebody who talks about his traumatic life in a community that would have been much more poverty. And his path, I mean, when he was writing the book, he'd already been in the military, learned discipline. He'd gotten help and gone to college. And he had been accepted into Yale, one of the best law schools in the country, and he was a practicing lawyer, and he wrote a book. What happened when he got married? Things fell apart. He didn't know how to relate to people in a loving relationship. And he talks about this in the book. That's one of the biggest things about maturity. How do we relate to one another? So, how and what do we do? How do we get and become more mature? Well, Brent, I appreciate a number of things you pointed out in what you said. You must be quite mature. Because I heard things that you were paying attention to. I'd like to just point out a few. First of all, you have to have the desire to be mature. You have to recognize that you're not totally mature. Before that, you really can't take the first step. So it's that awareness. And secondly, we have to see people. Like Brent talked about, we have to see mature people to know where we're going. It's impossible for us to become mature people without the elder parental figures that we need in our life to see, oh, that's the way I want to go. And that is one of the reasons why being in a community like Walnut Hill is so important. Yes, I say you guys, some of you are not very mature, and all of us have some. But you know what? Some of you are very mature. And we have some very, very good examples in this congregation, which is one of the blessings of being part of a community that works on it. So our elders, models, that's so important. In adversity, in everything. Brent mentioned watching BJ going through adversity. How many of us didn't sit up and pay attention? We learned something about that. And thirdly, we do need handles and guidelines. So lucky for you, I gave you some today. If you look into this comes from James Wilder book, which set me on this path right now for thinking about maturity. But I want you to get out this handout. Now, he has a checklist for all the stages. I'm only giving you two. Infancy, which I think most of you think you're through. And childhood, which I think most of you think you're through. But I'd like to just point out a few things that I think are so important for us to recognize that maybe we deal with, even in the infant stage. If you look down to the place where there's six things, in infant stage, we learn to regulate and quiet the big six emotions. Anger. Fear. As a child, I had a lot of fear. I still have to figure out how to deal with my fear when I'm on the sailboat. You know, you might think that's kind of silly, but it is real. Logically, I know that boat is not going to turn over, but emotionally, I'm fearful. How do we pay attention to those emotions that rise up in us? Sadness. Disgust. Big one. Shame. We live in a shaming culture. And then hopeless despair. These are big emotional things that we face in our life. So when we recognize those emotions in us, a mature person will step back. It's not only that we step back and say, oh, that's what I'm doing, but it's also saying, what am I going to do to get this changed in me? And how am I going to practice something new? And I'm going to get to what God does in a little bit. But these are I think that's very important. Look, that's in the infant stage. We learn that when we have no ability to do anything for our life. Isn't that amazing? And we're in that infant stage for quite a few months. Not a huge amount of years, but the other one we talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago is I can return to joy from every emotion and restore broken relationships. Return to joy in the moments. Recognize that there is hope. Brent, again, word. Hope beyond the pain. Hope that we have. And it's not like it, you know, I am not going to preach a sermon that says nothing bad is going to happen to you. Because it is. It is. We are constantly learning how to face the bad things. So a receiving, being taken care of, the first two, I've experienced strong, loving, caring bonds of both a woman, a mother, or a father, or a man. Both those things are in there. And then if you turn the page over to the child stage, the first one I think we got to mention, I can do hard things. I can do things I don't feel like doing, and I can do hard things. Can you? Are you willing to? And then down at the bottom, I have learned to control my cravings. And I know what satisfies me deep within me. And then the final one that I think is so important, I see myself through the eyes of heaven or through the loving-eyed gaze, if you remember Shar and Linda talking about that, that's how we see ourselves. Those are child stage. So that means all of that happens before we're 12. Now, for many of us, all of that did not happen. Some of us are still working on some of it. But you know what? That's okay. The point isn't, am I an immature woman at 66? The point of, am I somebody that has recognized where I really need to grow and I'm pushing on it and working at it? Now, we can talk about immaturity and maturity here in this place because God has done God's work in us. So that's the other half of it. Now, James Wilder in his book is the one that put me on this, so I'm just passing on some information of a book that you might never read. But I thought this was very important. God has done God's work in us. God has redeemed us. God has healed us or is healing us. God has adopted us into God's family and has given us God's Spirit to dwell in us. That's God's work. So if we have received from God what God is willing to give, then we can do the hard work of maturation. I thought that was a very good division for us to hear. I can't redeem myself. I can't really heal myself. I mean, I've heard lots of I've prayed for healing. You know, God does those kinds of work in us. And then we can build on it and we can become the people that God meant us to be. And though we're going to be hampered by the interruptions that come our way in this world, with our eyes open and with hearts that are longing to grow, and if we are awake and conscious, we can overcome them one step at a time. Now, I want to finish this sermon with this. I kind of think of this as my last pastoral sermon to you. I'm going to preach June 30th on my last Sunday, but it's not going to be the same thing. And I think it's so interesting, and it's probably because of me, I'm telling you what I think is the most important thing for you to hear. I think this is what Jesus kept hitting the people with when he walked. Grow up. Look around you. See what you haven't seen before in you. In the world, the possibilities that are up there, out there, for you. Jesus never used the word mature in the Gospels, but I think it's what we're doing on the way with Jesus. May God guide you, especially in times of adversity, so that the very best self that you have can come out, be alive, and be there. So take this and mark off the things that you need to work on.
We'll have two songs of response. The first is in your hymnal worship book, number 548. Teach me thy truth, 548. Same book, number 511. God who touches earth with beauty.
Thank you.
was, those were very nice songs to help us. Maybe we should take especially that last one home and put it on our refrigerator and sing it each day this week, for the desire that's expressed in it. It is so really good. So today we mark a milestone for three of the young people who have been nurtured here in our community in some ways. Our senior recognition day. And so I would invite the seniors and their mentors to come forward and at this point. And what I'm asking them to do is the mentor is going to introduce the senior, and then each of the seniors are going to say a few words. We haven't restricted them to six sentences, but we don't know what will go on. Now, Katie Wiedek is one of the seniors, and she's not here, but Margo is going to say a few words.
Okay. Katie was unable to be here today. She was also treasurer of the National Honor Society. I know she's an excellent student. And the senior year, she became part of the swim team. So, and her plans for next year are to go to Purdue and major in biology.
Okay, now. I didn't have a pattern.
For me, it doesn't seem all that long ago that Roar, Arloa, Ian, and Ashley brought Biz into our church family from Ethiopia. Back then, he refused to enter the sanctuary, and that's a mystery to this day to me. I don't know why he wouldn't come in, but anyway, let's let that go. But now he comes in and is often on the drums. I remember watching him acquire English faster than any other foreign language student I've known. Part of that is he's a pretty smart cookie, and part is that he's so verbal. He's tried a lot of extracurricular things that only Bethany can offer you to do, like drama club, basketball, baseball, choir, band, of course, soccer. He's really good at advocating for himself. I once remember him telling me he might do some bad or selfish things in life, but he's not a bad person. I resonated with that, and I agree. He's a good guy with a big heart. Now, this year that heart was broken with the death of a great friend, Keyshawn, and his heart is healing. But that's a long road sometimes. He's fast approaching a school milestone here, and I see lots of good guy potential in him for the future. I sure have enjoyed watching him develop into who he is today. Being the crazy character that he is, he sure has provided me with lots of laughs and joy.
Do you want to say her words?
I'd like to say thank you to the community, even though I can be interesting sometimes. I want to say thank you to my family because they've gone through like a lot of rough stuff with me. My brother, he used to like to hang out with me, but I annoyed him too much, I think. But he's still there for me, so thanks for that, Ian. Jack, you're pretty much like another brother. Your family has taken me in pretty much like another son, and that's been awesome. I just want to say, like, everyone here is like a family member. Like, everyone's like a parent or a brother or sister. So thank you for that, and thank you for taking me in as one of your own. I'm going to IUSB next year, and then hopefully a year later going to IU Bloomington to study medicine, pre-med. And I don't know from there where I want to go yet.
Thank you.
So about a year ago this time, Rhiannon and I decided that we should host an exchange student. And for us, that was a way to add a fourth person to our family without going through the early stages that have extra challenges. But as I was thinking about introducing Camille, I thought about those other times that, just come over here. Now you can see. When we dedicated our children and we did the song, "I Was There to Hear Your Morning Cry." And it's got words that say, when you were born, when you were baptized, when your life unfolds, when you were a child. Ouch, stop. And with Camille coming to our family, we didn't go through all those steps. She came to us at age 18. And she was born in 2000 and turned 18 just a couple days before she came to our house. So it was a very different starting point with her, and we had no idea really what we were getting ourselves into. When we said we'd host an exchange student, we learned some from Ted and Marcia and from other folks that have had exchange students, but this year has been an opportunity to think about who we are as a family, to think about what Christianity is through the eyes of someone who hasn't attended church or been part of a culture and a country that is similar to the U.S. In France, it's different. There are different expectations, different norms. And so often sitting here in church thinking, how is this being received, being viewed from Camille's eyes? And so lots of conversations about why church is the way it is. Why are we all so close together, close-knit, like Biz said, a family, because it's different, it's odd. So it's been really interesting to go through this time with Camille. So Camille, Lydie, Olivia Desnoux, she is from De La Fontaine, France, which is just a little bit south and west of Paris, if you know France at all. Last night she served a four-course French meal with 14 different dishes paired with wines from her father's vineyard and winery that they had which brought in $1,600 for our MYF auction. She's not even going to convention, so thank you. And she said that she may come back every year to do that kind of a meal, but that's not what this is about. It's pretty cool, though. So it has been a real gift to have Camille in our family, to be a big sister to Mari and to Ellie and Micah. So I introduce Camille.
So like you all know, I'm from France. I was only here for a school year. I'm coming back home on June 13, and the Harrison are coming back with me. But after on June 21st, I will be back to my French life. I learned a lot this year, not really at school, but about myself, what I want to do and what I can do. I also improved my English. I did an internship during my second semester at William Design. I was working with a marketing team, and I really enjoyed my internship. Working in marketing, communication, it's really what I would like to do. I'm going back home for 2 years. I already have my college. I will have a first diploma at the end of these 2 years. And then I would like to go back here in the US and go to Miami Business University. Miami is only a project so far, but I hope that I will make it. After my college, I might come back here and live in the US. I know that people think I'm crazy when I say that, but I don't know. I do not want to live in France. I don't really know yet what specific job I would like to do, but I just know that I want to work in marketing, communication, and do like developing a company, like international company. I want to travel and learn other languages. So during my 2 years, of college in France. I'm going to spend 6 months in Spain to learn Spanish. And I will also have 2 internships. So one is for 1 month, and I would like to do it in Dubai. And the other one is for 2 months, and I would like to do it in a Latin country to still like improve my Spanish. So this is my 2 goals for the 2 next years. And I also want to learn Arabic. So I hope I will make all of this. I wanted to thank you all for letting me be part of your community. I'm not a Christian and never been to church before this year, so it was very like new for me. And thank you for letting me discover this with you and be part of the community, of your community. And you are all invited to my graduation and go away party on on June 9th.
Thank you, Camille. We are very happy that you came to join us, for sure. And we would like to offer you a gift that we give the seniors. It's a mug with WHMC, so you won't forget us if you drink coffee, which oftentimes we do, or tea or whatever. So we offer that to you. And now I would invite those who would be interested to come up and surround these 2 people, and I will offer a prayer blessing for them on this time. So move forward, if you don't mind, Biz and Camille. You know, we also are grateful to you, Camille, for cleaning our church this year. That was a major, major gift to us. Oh, great. So let's surround these seniors who we have come to love dearly and care about. Gracious God, the one who has looked upon both Camille and Biz with a loving-eyed gaze, has drawn each of them toward yourself. We pray a blessing upon them as they take this new step into their future, into adulthood, into maturity. We pray that you would guide them. We thank you so much for the gift that Camille has been amidst us, for the way that she has expanded our world by sharing hers. We thank you for her sweet and gentle spirit, for the food that she has prepared for us and the way that she welcomes us into her presence and into her life. We thank you for her effort to learn our language and that she makes an effort to communicate with us and to become one of us. I pray, O God, that you would bless her with many of her dreams fulfilled. I bless her with maturity as she lives responsibly in a loving way, wherever she finds herself. We thank you for her life and for her gifts. We thank you also, God, for bringing Biz to us, also from far away at a young age. We thank you for the loving home that he has had and for the loving-eyed gaze that he has received from the people in his household. We remember his indomitable spirit, his desire for joy and for fun. And we remember also and have sometimes been a little taken back by the questions and the truths, the logic that he has uttered in our presence. We pray, O God, that this gift of tongue would be used wisely in a world that is so in need of wisdom and truth. We pray that you would continue to guide him on this journey to maturity and responsibility. Continue to let him express the joy that he has inside of him and the gratitude and the thankfulness that he has shared about. Pray a blessing upon his choice of work and a future. And may the people who will aid him in this journey be brought close and in his circle. So God, we pray also a blessing upon Katie, who has been part of our community here too. bless her in her work of becoming an adult, a responsible, gracious, and loving adult. And so we pray, O God, that these three, as they take this journey, would go with you in your spirit, being held by your loving embrace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.